Now you're lying.
Really?
Now.
All over again?
All over again.
Everything I just told y'all?
Yeah. Say it again.
And welcome, you guys. I didn't get to meet you. Pastor Ben does prayer in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And so I'm not speaking today. My wife is speaking. Every third Sunday is Yom Ishi, which is Ladies Day, where we honor the ladies and give them a voice to speak the word of God. If you think that women are not supposed to speak the word of God, get in contact with me so I can send you a Bible study, because you need to be educated.
Amen.
All right. So praise the Lord, and bow your heads as I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for all our visitors. We thank you, Father God, for watching over us and for the work that you're doing, Father God, in the earth through your Son, Jesus Christ, comes. We pray over the word right now, Father God, in Jesus' name. We pray, Father God, that my wife will be blessed in all that she says, and we pray that she will be comfortable and that she will relax and let the Holy Spirit use her, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for being here today. I want to start off this morning just by a little just shout out for Janelle Looney and her brother. They did a video explaining what POPS is, and that is something that Janelle has been diagnosed with, and it's been a struggle for her for over a year and a half now. I believe it's been over a year and a half now. And so they did a documentary in regards to that situation and that journey. It's a blessing, and it should be on YouTube soon. So I asked the family, the church family, and the online family to look for that under Janelle Looney. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So I want to tell you guys what this was about and what this meant to me to set a table today. I wanted to set a table because the setting of a table symbolizes family. It symbolizes unity. It symbolizes culture and tradition. And these are some of the things that I want to be sharing with you today. It also shows us that when we come together in God's provision, right? Family is about provision, and it's one time a year or a time of night when we come together all together with our plates and with our dishes, and we fend and we take care of one another, right? It's a time that that we share, and that it's an intimate time with family. And it's the one time that we kind of allow ourselves to let our hair down. And setting the table kind of draws everyone into one another, right? It kind of, you guys, when it came in, did you not feel a certain kind of way when you saw the table? It kind of relaxed you, and it kind of shows you who you are in Christ. If you look at it in the symbol of this embodies family, amen, this embodies love, right? So this is what I wanted to show today. And it's funny, because as I was building this, my mom is one of those people that every season, the table represents seasons too, is that correct? Every season, my mom kind of throws up over the season. What I mean by that is she overdoes it. You gotta just love that woman. She overdoes the autumn, she overdoes Christmas and Thanksgiving, and it's just stuff on top of stuff. And as I was building this, although this is a whole lot of Drea and all the things I like, but I couldn't help but do a little bit of my mom. My mom is kind of a little craft girl, and so I wanted a little color, and I just laughed because I pulled that out, and that's so my mom. That is so my mom. If anybody knows my mom, that they know that that's my mom. So the title of this message is setting the table. If I ate differently, would I be different? Amen. So I'm gonna show you guys what that means to me. But I also have to share a little bit about another movie. So she got another movie. She got another movie. So this one is Tortilla Soup. Tortilla Soup is a cute little movie that the Olivers and the Armstrongs watched. And it's all about family, and the dad was a chef. He's a chef, and he has three daughters that he's now raising by himself, right? And they're all adults. And every conversation that they had that meant anything was around the table. And I laughed as I was thinking, I was preparing for this message, because it didn't matter. It's funny, there was just four of them, but every time there were guests came to eat, or there was another element added to the table, or another person added to the table was always just the right size. I just had to laugh. They just came together. The table was always just the right size. They always had the right provision for what was going on for that evening. Amen. So follow me if you would. Food. This also, we're going to be talking a lot about food today, but not just food that you eat, spiritual food, right? I want to know if you can recognize the difference, or if it's all the same. We eat food. The basic definition of food is nutritious substance that people, animals eat or drink, or plants absorb in order to maintain life and growth. Is that different than what we need to do spiritually? Is it the same thing? Amen. So we have been talking, and T, I just love it, because we've been doing the mindful manna moment. The mindful manna moment is stuck so much in my head that I was drawn to that for this subject. So we are going to live today in Exodus 16. So if you guys could turn to your Bibles to Exodus 16. And even if I jump around a little bit, I want you to keep your finger there, because I want you to journey with me through that passage of Scripture. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You guys, we're going to have some fun today. Loosen up a little bit. Loosen up a little bit. I want you to talk to me. I want you all, I'm going to pull a Pastor Ben on you, make you say some things, make you turn to your neighbor so you can wake up in here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus 16:1. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim to come to the desert of Sin, which is Elim is between the desert of Sin is between Elim and Sion, on the 15th day of the second month after they had left Egypt. Are you following me? I even got my little map up here. Look at that. I love when things just work out. I was like, oh, it's still up here. So we're leaving Egypt, right? And we're going somewhere right in between here. Okay? So follow me on this journey, you guys. We're going to have some fun today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the first table I want to set to you, because there's different tables, different seasons in our life. And so this first one I want to talk about is the table of complaining, right? Because we got to get it right. We got to understand that there's choices and there's opportunity for correction. And there's a time where we need to learn. We came in this way, but we weren't called to stay in the same way we came. God said, come as you are, but he didn't tell you to stay there. Amen. Amen. It's time for us to grow. So I want you to journey, follow me. Follow with me through this journey, and I want you to get a little excited about it. Amen?
Amen.
So, Exodus 16, 2 and 3. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. They sat around there. We sat around with pots of meat and ate food and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire, assembly to death. So Pastor Ben already said it. They just lying. The Lord took them from that plate already. This was a plate I had you at back then, because that was what you needed to learn then. You were supposed to grow from that. That wasn't something you were supposed to forget. The traditions that we grew up with, the things that my mom did, I wasn't supposed to forget it. I was supposed to learn from it. Some of those traditions I'm allowed to keep, and some of those things I have to break off. Amen? So can I remind you what happened, right? If we go back to Exodus 1 and 8, and again, keep your finger at chapter 16, but you're welcome to follow me back. There was Exodus 1, verse 8. Amen? There was a new king. He didn't know anything about Joseph. Because remember, Joseph was the reason why they even came to Egypt, right?
Amen.
Because he was there. So that was why they even were housed there in the first place. But the new king didn't know anything about Joseph, so he was like scared. He was like, all these people, they're growing in numbers. They'll be able to overtake us if we don't do something about it. So what he did in verse 11, he said, so put slave masters over them and oppress them to and force labor on them, right? He's treating them as slaves. He built Pithom and Ramses store cities for Pharaoh, but the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. See, the Egyptians thought they were doing something. They thought, we are going to tear them down, we're going to stress them out, we're going to break them down so that they can't do what the Lord has called them out to do. The first thing they thought they were going to do, they were going to kill the male babies, right? But see, they asked the wrong group of women. Those midwives said, nah, those are our babies. We're going to make sure, we're going to do everything we can because we fear God more than we feel Pharaoh.
Yeah.
We don't care about that, right? So in the time they thought they were tearing down the Israelites, stay with me, y'all. In the time they thought they were tearing down the Israelites, they were actually building them up.
Yeah.
Because you have to go through something in order to have victory over something. Amen? So they're trying to show them through this journey that you are built up, and I've already prepared for you for this little hunger thing that you're crying about right now. This grumbling and complaining you're talking about, I've already prepared you for that. Amen? So it's time for you to move on from that. I don't need you to be tripping, right? For lack of a better word, I'm going to say tripping. I don't need you to be tripping about how you're hungry right now because God has called us to crave His word and to crave His strength. And I already prepared for the situation when you were getting beat up and your babies were getting threatened to die. I already took care of that. I already took you through this journey. Now I'm bringing you to a new journey because I need to teach you something new. But you're stuck. You're stuck on that path, right? So as the Lord is trying to get them to crave His word, He's setting a new table for them. It's called the table of obedience. Amen. You guys are following me? Excuse me. May I have some Kleenex? Kleenex? Can somebody give me some Kleenex? Thank you. Hallelujah. 16:4. Come with me. Stay with me because we got some scriptures to go through and I need y'all to follow with me. Amen. Excuse me. Thank you. Then the Lord said to Moses, are you back at Exodus 16:4? Are you back there? Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough food for that day. For that day. Can someone say for that day?
For that day.
In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Oh, the Lord gives us exactly what we need. This little test right here was Him showing that I have provided for you. I've always provided for you. If you slide back to Genesis 1:29, again, keep your finger at Exodus. I'm going to just read a couple of verses, and you're welcome to not follow me and write it down for later, but I want to remind you of God's provision. It says, then God said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with it, with seed in it. They will be yours for food. All the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I will give you every green plant for food. And it was so. So He's trying to teach him obedience. I'm going to give you a choice here. Amen? Just skip down a little bit further to Genesis 2:15. Let me read one more scripture before we pop back. Amen? The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work and to take care of it. The Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from that, you will surely die. Pastor Ben talked about it this morning during Bible study, and I'm going to keep saying during Bible study because it was hot. Amen. Sunday school. But it was the Lord put that tree in the garden because how many know we need to learn how to choose?
Yes.
Amen. If without choice, he would have just, it would have been a hollow obedience, if it will.
Right.
He would have just been a prisoner up there.
Yes.
But God put it there because we need to learn how to choose.
That's right.
Amen. Our flesh is jacked up. In Romans 7, 15, and this is just an honorable mention, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But I do what I hate. Because I haven't learned how to get my flesh in check and walk that thing out with Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Amen?
Amen.
I have to learn the difference.
Yes.
That's why that tree was there.
Yep.
He was from the very beginning. He's trying to teach us choice.
Amen.
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 Discipline.
I have another table, y'all. But I need to learn how. I need to learn how to make the right choice. I'm presented with all these options. The Lord told me to pick up food for that day. Amen. But yet, are you following me? Amen. So we're back to Exodus 16 and 5. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and they are to, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other day. Continue to follow me, y'all. Exodus 16 and 8. Moses said, "You will know that the Lord, that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he had heard your grumbling against him." Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. But against the Lord. Every time, I don't know about nobody else, but this is just, I can't say it blessed me. It was a revelation. Every time you complain to your sister, to your husband, to your son, to your coworker, you're complaining against the Lord.
Yes.
He has taken that mess personally.
Yes.
Wow. We did a whole fast. We did a whole fast on contentment. Do y'all remember that? We did this whole fast. We wore the contentment bracelet. When we was complaining, we switched it to the other side. Did I once think about that? My complaining, every time I was switching it back and forth 50 times, and Drea was like, said he was like, "Drea." He was like, "That's a complaint." Oh. And that complaint wasn't to him, it's to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
How ungrateful are we? Amen. I'm sorry, it's right in the middle of scripture. I had to break that thing down.
Amen.
We're complaining. He's given us provision. He's showing his presence. The Israelites were in his presence. Yet they were not operating as though. Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Amen. It hurt my feelings and blessed me at the same time. Exodus 16 and 10. We're going through this. Amen?
Amen.
While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert. And there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. So 16, 11 through 12, stay with me. Let me try it. I'm so silly. I'm trying to be grown over here, trying to pretend like I don't need these glasses. It's just getting more and more blurry.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Look at that. And it's so sad because it's like an 18 print, y'all. I thought I was doing something. Oh, glory be the name. That's the next thing I'm going to do.
Oh,
as I'm working on myself, I'm going to see the eye doctor. Hallelujah. So stay with me. We're at 16:11. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumblings of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Continuing on, that evening quail came over the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, a thin flake like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, They said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." For the Israelites, the manna was a gift, right?
Yes.
This was exactly what they needed, how much they needed. It gave them a temporary physical satisfaction. But in John 6:48, what does the Lord say? "I am the bread of life." Right? He says, your ancestors ate that manna. Do you know manna actually means what is it? I didn't know that. I just love that. It actually means that. What is it? That's the meaning of it. What is it? They didn't know what it is. And the Lord is saying, "I am the bread." You're missing the whole thing. I am the bread of life. Amen. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which anyone can eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for life of the world. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? Ooh, look at it. See? Getting all hot up here. Amen.
Can you eat a fan?
No, I'm good, because then it'll be a whole nother. You don't even want to go there, Pastor. Okay. You know I'm special. You see all of this, you already know I'm special. I had to laugh, you guys, because the very next scripture, John 6:52, the Jews begin to argue sharply against themselves, and they said, "How can a man give us his flesh to eat?" I had to read that because they missed the whole thing. I wanted to make a point. Please don't miss what I'm trying to say. That they missed it. They're talking about flesh. The Lord is not talking about flesh at all. He's talking about what is inside of you. What is at the core of you? That is what I'm trying to work on. That's what I'm trying to change. That's what I'm trying to transform, is your core. Please don't miss the message. Amen? Hallelujah. Can we go back to Exodus 16 and 18? I love it, y'all. Stay with me. I see it in your eyes. You're getting it. You're not going to miss it today. Amen?
Amen.
Say, "We're not going to miss it."
Amen.
Amen. Exodus 16 and 18. This is what the Lord commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they needed. How many times does he have to stress that? Okay, he's trying to teach us something. If you skip down to 20, Moses said to them, "No one is to keep anything until morning." Can someone say, "However"?
However.
One more time, however.
However.
Some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was filled with maggots and began to smell. One translation said it stank. It stank. Can somebody say it stank?
It stank.
So Moses was angry with them. Can I take you guys back to somebody else that messed it up? Who you think I'm talking about, girl? I'm talking about some Eve. Yes, I'm talking about Adam and Eve. They messed that thing up, right? The same thing. It's the same. I need you to recognize that God is always trying to show his provision.
Yes.
Amen. This is not new. He's showing himself through all of this all the time.
Yes.
He wants us to be present with him in every situation so that we can learn.
Yes.
Amen. So let's learn together. Go back. Keep your finger here. But Genesis 3, 6, and 7. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
6 and 7. I'm going right in, y'all. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then both of their eyes were open and they realized they were naked. Oh, glory be the name of the Lord. She saw, she gazed, she took. She allowed herself to be lured away from God. Satan lures, right? God draws us in. Amen. Thank you. Amen. But yet, she allowed herself to be destroyed in the sense of sinning. God had already made a plan for her redemption, but I need you to recognize, but by her gaze, by her desires of her eye, by the appetite of her stomach, by appetite of stomach, I need you guys to understand what that means. That's bigger than just that, right? Is what we desire that seems to be uncontrollable. You know, Lot's wife gazed and considered and turned into a pillar of salt. Amen? We need to recognize what God is doing. We need to understand when that table is gone, when we're no longer to eat from that fruit, when that wasn't even an option for us. Mother Sharon loved her some shrimp. On her birthday, she even got her some all-you-can-eat shrimp. It looked good, too. How many know if I eat a piece, even a smell of that shrimp, it'd be a wrap? I'm allergic to shrimp. That's not a plate I can eat off of. Yeah. It would be a bad situation for me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We need to understand. It's a bad situation when we're eating off of somebody else's plate or a plate that wasn't meant for us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In Galatians 15 and 16, it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, the flesh works in contrary to the Spirit. The flesh is opposite. It's in conflict of it. In Exodus 16 and 21, and I'm going to roll right into it because it works here. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. Lord, if it could be that easy. If every time I was about to do something extra, if every time I was going to overindulge, overeat, overdo, over, the sun would just melt it away. Wouldn't that be hot?
That'd be great.
You wouldn't have drug addiction,
right?
Because the sun would just melt it away. You wouldn't have alcoholism because the sun could just melt it away. Wouldn't that just be beautiful?
Beautiful.
Beautiful if it was that easy.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
It's not. You got to learn. You got to follow God's instructions, and you got to listen to what he's saying, and hopefully it gets to a point where it can be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But it's not just as easy. This is why they have so much favor. The Lord was making it so they can't mess up, yet they still found ways to mess up. He melted it away so you couldn't even get to it, and yet you still acted up. Oh, my goodness. Follow me. 16:22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 ells for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported it to Moses. Tomorrow is the Sabbath day of rest, a holy Sabbath day. So bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, whatever is left, keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses has commanded. And it did not get stanky or maggots, right? Because they were doing what the Lord had commanded them to do. But understand, because on the Sabbath day to the Lord is sacred, right? You will not find anything on the ground on the Sabbath day. Somebody say, nevertheless.
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless. Some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Okay, y'all. I have to share some. I heard something this week, and it just blessed me. This girl said, how many of you know that the enemy was not after Eve's diet? She was not after Eve's diet. He was not after Eve's diet. He was after her mind.
Yeah.
He was, if I can get you to change and be disobedient, change the way you eat, then I can change the way you eat.
Yeah.
I can change the way you sup with the Lord. I can change your circumstances. I can change the way you approach food. I can change the way you approach conflict. I'm after your mind. I know what it will, what by you eating that fruit, I know what it will do to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what it will do to you. I'm trying to destroy you, and not just you, generations to come.
Yeah.
So we say we got to break that thing. Those things that pull us down, we got to break that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The enemy knows in Romans 8:6, and you could just write this down, that the mind is governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. See, he doesn't want you to be stress-free. He doesn't want you to be stress-free without worry, without anxiety. He wants to keep you bound.
Yes.
The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. You know, that's his ultimate purpose, is to get out of relationship with Christ. That's not a table you never want to eat at. We never want to be out of fellowship with Christ. I'm trying to teach you all how to eat so that you're nourished. Amen. I want you to make decisions. What if everything that I chose to eat, physically and spiritually, had some kind of nurturing effect in my body? So that meant anything that was not nutritious, I left away. I stepped away from it. I did not allow it to be in my body, because I want my body and my temple to line up with the Word of God. So I'm choosing what's in my atmosphere. I'm choosing what goes into my belly. Amen?
Amen.
Philippians 3:19 said, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things.
Yeah. Yes.
They were hungry for the wrong thing. Their appetite was not for Christ. Can we pull it back in? We lost of being content with what my family brought. I'm content with what the Lord brought to my house. I'm content with what the Lord has given me. I no longer have to be at that restaurant. How many of us go out to eat and that other person's plate looks so good? It did. It was like, oh, I want to order that. But your food is already coming, boo. I need you to be satisfied with what you got. Hey, man, it might be just as good. You haven't even tried it yet. You're looking over there. You don't even know what it is. Don't even know what it is. Might have two eyes in it. You don't know. Amen.
Amen.
Timothy 6:6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We were brought into this world. It says, we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Okay, I just have to cloud a little bit. Why everybody's mama told that up? I brought you into this world. That ain't what the scripture was talking about. Our mamas was messing with us. I'm sorry, I read that. I was like, ooh, that's where she got. She just, that wasn't what the Lord was saying. Try to get me. Mom, you slick on that one. Exodus 16:31. We family, right? We can get real up in here. Hallelujah. Exodus 16:31. We're on the home stretch, family. The people called the bread manna. It was like a colander seed and tastes like wafers made with honey. Yum. Right? Hallelujah. When the Lord is providing, amen. When the Lord is providing, which he always is, amen. But he wanted the Israelites to take the jar and put an aum of manna in it. He wanted them to remember this provision. He wanted them to remember it. He wanted them to be able to recall, because they clearly, how many know they had trouble remembering? Clearly they had trouble remembering. They talk about going back to slavery because they was hungry for one day. That don't even make any sense. It doesn't make any logical sense at all. So clearly you need a reminder. So he asked them to take a jar and put an aum of manna in it, to place it before the Lord to keep it for generations to come. They put the manna in a jar to remind them of God's provision in the desert. Amen? Can I share just I got one more provision that I'd like to share with y'all. If you can flip over to Luke chapter 9, verse 10, and we want to talk about Jesus feeding 5,000. Amen?
Yes.
And we're going to be real quick. We're going to go through. How am I doing, Pastor?
Great.
Amen. Hallelujah. You there? And you guys, please write these scriptures and go and go back and enjoy it. Amen? When the apostles returned, they reported to what Jesus had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. So the apostles, really quickly, thought they were going alone to be with the Lord. But the Lord had yet another table to set before them. He had another teaching, right? He needed to show them something that was still missing out of their ministry. Yeah. Amen. They thought they needed some time alone, but the Lord said, no, we're still working. Amen. So follow me with, we're on verse 11, if you would, still in chapter 9. But the crowd learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 said, send the crowd away so that we can go to surrounding villages and countrysides and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. Didn't we start our journey together in a remote place today, right? We started in Egypt, right? Going to Elam, amen? And here we find ourselves in a remote place again. And the Lord, and they're asking, how can we feed all these people? There's no resources for us to feed all these people. And when the Lord said, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Family, we cannot allow the lack of resources to discourage us and help and make us miss the power of God. Yeah. Amen. If he tells us to do something, he's going to equip us to do it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely going to equip us to do it. And we have to walk in that confidence and believe in the plate that's before us, that he actually gave it for us, that meal that's before me is exactly what I need for my blood type, for how I'm made up, so that I can eat well in him and understand that I am blessed. That I can be anointed through Christ. If I am following and obeying his word, if I just sit down somewhere and pray and listen so that I can hear God's voice, that I can walk this thing out. Amen. And I can walk it out with the power of Christ. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They answered, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said, go ahead, sit them down in groups of 50. I'm going to take care of this, right? I'm going to take care of this. So they took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples, and they distributed it to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets and broke the broken pieces that were left over. How many baskets?
12.
How many apostles?
12.
12. Does anyone think that they also needed a jar of manna to remember God's provision? I'm just saying. Amen. We need to remember.
Amen.
God. We need to remember that he's the same God yesterday and today and forever. Amen. In Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worries about itself. Each day has its own trouble. Continuing on in Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or about what you wear. Isn't not life more important than food, and the body and the clothes? But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be lined up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In my movie, Tortilla Soup, there's towards the end of the movie, they took a plate. I'm not going to do that because, first of all, it's a ceramic plate, but also I'm in church. But they begin to break the plates. They begin to break the plates. Why were they breaking plates? They needed to release some things, you all. They had to let go of what they were seeing and doing and realizing that there was a bigger plan in store. Sometimes we have to break some things to loose it, to get rid of those things that are bounding us, pulling us away from God's provision, from recognizing God's provision, because it can't really pull us away from God's provision, but we lack recognition of God's provision. Amen? I talked about last week in the church service, before we're online, I talked about walking up a mountain with Tahira and how that journey really reflects God's journey in our life and kind of what we're talking about today, just recognizing God's goodness and how we have to fight for it and continue to move in an upward position. Well, when I got to the top and I was just about to touch the cross, I was a little bit off balance. Well, I'm scared of heights, but it's kind of that way. The closer you get to God, you're not sure of you got to be sure of your footing, right? But you feel a little off because it's a new territory for you. It's a new revelation for you. It's a new growth that the Lord is bringing you into. He's ministering to you on a different level. He's trying to communicate and raise you from where you were to where you ought to be. Amen. Let's hold on to the cross. Hold on to the cross and allow God change you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.